It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut. He's a Democrat in office since 2013 after serving for several terms in the U.S. House. Senator Murphy, last time we were talking about the future of the Israel-Hamas war, I know that you've been highly critical of the leadership of Netanyahu. What did you think of Senator Schumer saying that he thinks it's time for Israel to have a change in leadership?
Well, that's ultimately the decision for the Israeli people. I think we are all very worried about the statements that Netanyahu has made that I think are dictated by his right-wing coalition, suggesting that there is no future for a Palestinian state. There is just no way to guarantee the long-term viability of a Jewish state in the Middle East without a Palestinian state next to it. Because if you are not going to give the Palestinians a state, then ultimately there's only two options. One, a permanent state of apartheid in which Palestinians are not given the same rights as Jews. Or second, that ultimately there are more Palestinians in Israel than Jews, and it is no longer a Jewish state. So you need a home for the Palestinians. Netanyahu has made it pretty clear that if he's in charge, he is not going to allow the Palestinians to have a state. And I think if it is continuing to be an abiding U.S. interest to have two states, a Jewish state and a Palestinian state, then obviously we want leadership in Israel that is going to get back on that path to a Palestinian state.
There are some international observers who have labeled the campaign a genocide of Palestinian people. Do you think that is the correct terminology here?
I don't think so, but I think that we cannot turn our back with tens of thousands of people being killed, 13,000 children. This is a military campaign that has gone off the rails. The targeting decisions cannot be defended. And it's incumbent upon the United States right now to use the leverage that we have to get a suspension of this military campaign so that we can focus on saving lives.
Let me go to another area now. You were the lead negotiator on the compromise deal that included border policy that wound up getting rejected by former President Trump and in turn the House and Senate Republicans. Take us inside those talks.
Sure. The immigration talks were related to a supplemental funding bill for Ukraine and Israel. And it was made clear in the fall of last year that Republicans were not willing to support funding for Ukraine unless there was progress made on border and immigration reform. I actually think we should pass significant border and immigration reform because, you know, right now we just have too many people crossing at the southern border in an unplanned way. It's overwhelming our cities. And I also, you know, want to make sure we do the right thing by people who are here in this country living in the shadows. So, yes, I was the lead Democratic negotiator during the end of last year and the beginning of this year to try to get a bipartisan deal on immigration for the first time in 40 years. We did achieve that agreement. Senator James Lankford, he's a Republican from Oklahoma, very conservative guy, border hawk. He and I and Kyrsten Sinema, independent from Arizona, got an agreement. That agreement would have been the toughest border security measure in a generation. But as soon as we unveiled it, Donald Trump opposed it, rallied Republicans to oppose it because they frankly did not want to fix the border. They wanted to keep the border a mess because it helped Donald Trump politically this November. And ultimately, we couldn't get that compromise passed through the Senate. It failed when we brought it up for a vote in the Senate because almost every Republican, with the exception of Lankford and a few others, voted no. So it was deeply frustrating to me, deeply frustrating because we should pass bipartisan immigration reform. And I spent a long time negotiating that bill, but frustrating to me because we still haven't passed Ukraine aid.
Right.
And Ukraine is, you know, on the verge of losing this war if we don't get them additional funding. So, you know, that was the story with the immigration aid. There's a separate negotiation that happened to keep the government open and operating, which we were successful in. I was not as intimately involved in those negotiations as I was in the immigration Ukraine negotiations.
Did you agree with President Trump that it would have been a big political win for President Biden had that been passed?
I don't really understand why this place views everything in terms of political implications. Mm-hmm. I mean, who cares who it was a political win for? We're we're trying to make the country better. And I guess if Joe Biden is the current president and we passed a bill that would bring order to the Southwest border, I guess it would help him politically. But, you know, what a nightmarish world to live in if you oppose everything just because it might politically benefit the other party. I mean, if we passed an immigration reform bill, it would help Mitch McConnell. It would help James Lankford. It would help lots of Republicans that voted for it. But I wasn't going to oppose it simply because that bill was going to help some of our Republicans in their reelection campaigns. I just think this place is so hyper obsessed on, you know, political gamesmanship that we lose track of our real job, which is to pass laws that make the country better and make people safer.
Is it your estimation that that is now off the table until after the elections?
Oh, I don't know that it'll ever come back on the table. I think Republicans, you know, have made it very clear that they do not want to pass immigration reform. They had a chance in 2013. We passed a bipartisan bill in the Senate, actually got it passed through the Senate, and then Republicans who controlled the House of Representatives refused to take it up. This time, we negotiated a bipartisan bill, and Republicans in the Senate all rallied to oppose it. I think Republicans talk a good game on immigration, but they really can't imagine a world in which immigration is not a political wedge issue. They don't want to solve it because it's kind of the only issue that they get to hammer Democrats on these days. So I think for the foreseeable future, unfortunately, there's no real meaningful Republican partners to pass immigration or border reform.
Speaking of Senator McConnell, what was your reaction to the news that he will not remain as the GOP leader in your chamber?
Well, I think it's, you know, not surprising. You know, he is somewhat diminished. He's had some health issues. I obviously have, you know, immense disagreements with Mitch McConnell. I mean, I think he fundamentally shattered the Senate when he refused to bring Merrick Garland's nomination to the Supreme Court up for a vote. I mean, never had we seen anything like that before, and there's really been no going back for the Senate. In recent years, McConnell has been a more constructive player in the Senate. The bipartisan gun bill that I wrote and we passed in 2022, which has dramatically lowered gun violence rates in this country, Senator McConnell was a big part of making that bill happen. So, you know, in the last few years, he's been much more interested in compromise. But, you know, his legacy, I think, is a really damaging one.
We've been speaking with Connecticut U.S. Senator Chris Murphy. He's been in office since 2013 after serving in the House. And when we come back the next time, Senator Murphy, I want to ask you about something that's mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. OK,
great.